I want you, if you would, to just kind of remember what I talked about last week. I'm still on this whole thing about the kingdom of heaven is like on the parables. So today's message is the kingdom of heaven is like the leaven. The leaven. Not E11, but the leaven or the yeast. Now, we understand there's a lot of parables in the Bible, correct? But before we get started, I want to go back to where the Lord has given me this to understand the parables are very important to us. So turn with me, if you would, to Matthew 13, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13, verses 13 through 17. And when you're there, say amen. And some of you that are beginning to look for it, if you have it on your electronic devices, look it up in the Expanded Bible. Expanded Bible. For those of you that are tuning into the podcast, I welcome you to this Wednesday night service. I encourage you to get into your word, and I encourage you to take notes because this is about the kingdom of heaven. We'll begin reading in chapter 13 of the Gospel of Matthew, verses 13 through 17, out of the Expanded Bible. We begin reading in verse 13. This is why I use stories to teach the people. Speak in parables, because they see, look, but they don't really see, perceive. They hear, but they don't really hear or understand. So they show that the things Isaiah said about them are true. In them, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled that says, you will listen and listen, keep on hearing or listen intently, but you will not understand. You will look and look, keep on seeing or look intently, but you will not learn, perceive, comprehend. For the minds, hearts of these people have become stubborn, dull, calloused, hardened. They do not hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes and hear with their ears. They might really understand in their minds with their hearts and come back, turn, return to me and be healed. I would heal them, Isaiah 6:9-10. But you, your eyes are blessed because you see with your eyes and hear with your ears. I tell you the truth. Many prophets and good, righteous, just people wanted long to see the things that you now see, but they did not see them, and they wanted and longed to hear the things that you now hear, but they did not hear them. Father, I thank you for the reading of your word. I thank you that it's true yesterday, today, and forever, that nothing is changing, but it's ever so present in our time today. In the world and in the days that we live in, we begin to see the word of God become manifest in our lives. And we thank you that we're in that dispensation now, that you are revealing to us the heart of the kingdom. So we thank you for it now in Jesus' mighty name. And all of God's children said, amen. Amen. So he speaks to us in a parable so we can see things differently than what we have seen it before. A parable is given so that we have an understanding of what he's going to teach us. He's a teacher. They call him the rabbi. He would go through and teach. As he's teaching them, he would talk to them about a specific parable that would help them to understand what he was saying. So let me give you an example. When he was in the region where there's agriculture, he would speak in seed form, sowing form. But now here he is, he's talking to them about a parable that I'm about to read to you that is a bit different. But when he says it, you need to have the backdrop and understanding why he's saying it in this wise. So that the people that were listening to what he was saying had a better understanding the moment they heard it because they were from that region and they understood what he was saying. Okay? What I just say? Well, Pastor, you said a lot. Good. So the kingdom has parables. In Matthew 13, we have seven parables. Number one, the sower. Number two, the weeds. Number three, the mustard seed. Number four, the leaven. Last Sunday, we spoke on the treasure, number five, and of the fine pearls, number six. And then number seven is the net. I said the net, not a net, the net. There is a particular and specific net for the kingdom of God. We will discuss that on Sunday. But tonight's teaching is on the leaven. the yeast. In Matthew 13, he told them still another parable, which is the kingdom of heaven is like the yeast that a woman took and mixed into about 60 pounds of flour until it worked all through the dough. Now, how many of you know that when you're, how many of you have made bread before? You bake bread? I eat bread. I don't make it. But in Matthew 13:33, it says at the very beginning, the woman was making bread, right? He says, he told them another prayer. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into about 60 pounds. Well, when I read that, I began to think, many of us understand that the leaven means what to you? Sorry, can't hear you. Sin? Sin, what else? Leaven, like flesh, sin. So we all understand that, that the sin, right? But he says that the kingdom of heaven is like leaven. So is Jesus saying that the kingdom of God is full of sin? No. But why is Jesus saying that it's like leaven? Now, if I was to come and tell you that the kingdom of heaven, God's glorious place, is full of sin, would you believe it? But when he's speaking this parable, he's speaking to the Jewish people. The moment he said it, they already understood it. How many of you have read it and said, what are you talking about, the leaven? Okay, that's just sin. But you don't question why is he saying the kingdom of heaven is that way. Right? So, what are you saying? It expands? What expands? The yeast expands. Sin's expanding. No? Heaven is expanding. Is heaven expanding? Is heaven? Okay. Okay, so heaven is expanding, right? Full of sin. Oh, wait a minute. No? It's not a trick. Think about it. Are you listening? Kingdom of heaven, James, is like leaven. We equate leaven with sin. So here is now Jesus. Did Jesus make a mistake? So he's saying, where I'm from, the kingdom of heaven, is like leaven, sin. No? Thank you. Watch this, watch. Now he's speaking to the Jewish people. Now who was making the bread? A woman. A woman. I'm going to be real careful with this one because there's a lot of women here. I mean, really, John, are you going to help me out? James, you going to help me out? You got me, Josh? Woo! Watch this. In Revelation 12, a woman is symbolic of the church of God. Yes? Yeah. You're with me. In Revelation 17, a fallen woman, is symbolic of a false church or the false system. In Isaiah 47, a woman is symbolic of Babylon. In Galatians 4:21-31, Paul uses women to symbolize the old covenant and the new covenant. Correct? Because y'all look at me like, yeah, I haven't read it, but yeah. Read it. So we can get from all of this that a woman is used as a common denominator, as a system of beliefs and practices that influence other people. Yes? I'm trying to get there. Watch this. Woo. So he used this parable. He's talking with his disciples, and he's walking up. He's getting closer to Jerusalem, and so all the Jews are following. They're there. They're in that region. So he says, the kingdom of heaven is like the parable of a woman that is making bread, and she purposely put leaven in there. Remember what I said about what we need? And I said the 5,000? Was it accidental? No, it was purposeful. I purposely put something in there, what I said, right? So there's purpose behind what the woman did. So when he said it, the Jews knew immediately that is sacrilegious. you just ruined an offering. You follow me? You just ruined it because you're not supposed to give an offering with leaven in it. If the kingdom of heaven, is your head like spinning right now? The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into about 60 pounds of flour until it worked all through the dough. That means three measures of meal. When he spoke that, they understood that the woman represented a religious system that was false. Her purpose was to corrupt the kingdom. Watch. When Jesus came on the earth, what did he say? That the kingdom of heaven is where? Here. Here. Jesus is where? Here. Where's here? Here. Right? Is he here? Y'all looking at me like, Pastor, where you going with this? The kingdom of heaven is here. So when he gives the parable of the leaven, he's saying to them that the kingdom of heaven here on earth is full of sin. Ah, here we go now. Are we getting this? So if the kingdom of heaven here on earth is full of sin and it keeps spreading, it keeps expanding. Some of y'all already starting to kind of follow. He's not talking about the glorious heaven. He's speaking of the heaven here. So the religious system said, wait a minute. Heaven is corrupt. Okay, so hence now they're starting to follow and start blaming him for blasphemy. This is where the turn for Jesus' ministry turned. It was a parable that some understood the natural sense, but they didn't understand the spiritual sense of what was necessary for the kingdom. What did Jesus come to do? What he saw his father do. And what his father did, he did where? Here. It's good stuff. It's good stuff. So he comes on the earth. He is God himself in the flesh. So God comes in the flesh, incarnate in the flesh is Jesus Christ. The kingdom of heaven is here. And it's full of sin. But I have come to give you good news, a hope and a future for where you are to dwell and take dominion. Correct? Now, how many of you believe in the rapture, that when the rapture comes, we're out of here? We're gone with history, right? Done. What does the Bible say to look at as a sign before he returns? What does it say? What drama? Just like the days of Noah. Okay, I'm glad we're in the same page. So, no. She said that's because we're almost gone. No, this is just the beginning. In 2 Timothy 3, it says that in the last days there'll be perilous times. Does that sound like a spiritual awakening? Perilous times doesn't sound like an awakening. It speaks of, watch this, of the times of creation when the world was full of corruption. It was void. It was chaos. When there was chaos and it was void of light, what hovered over the earth? The Spirit of the living God. My God, I want you to hear this. Just start now, Josh. Just start now, Josh. The kingdom of heaven is here. But if it's like the leaven in the kingdom, what he's saying, don't put your eyes up. Put your eyes on me here. because I have gone to be with the Father, but my spirit I've given unto you so that you can occupy this land till I come. So everybody's looking to be taken up. And he's saying, why are you looking to be taken up when all of this is expanding with more chaos, corruption, all this sexual perversion? Everything that was meant to be good has been purposely injected with sin. Now, let's look back in the days of A.W. Tozer. Let's look down to the revivalists of John G. Lake. Let's look back at Captain Coleman. There was such a reverence in the house of God that when you came into the house of God, y'all don't want to hear this. When you came into the house of God, you were there to seek his presence, and you weren't there to hear about another miracle. You were going to get a miracle, receive a miracle, but you were there for his presence. There was such a thing of going to a place of holiness that you knew that when you walked in, there was conviction of leaven, the sin in your life. So if a little bit of leaven gets into your eyes, oh Lord, if a little bit gets in there, what is it going to do to you? It's going to continually grow. But what makes the bread rise? Is it just the yeast? It's the component of everything else mixed in. The fine flour was grounded, purified. Then the oil was added, which is still good in Leviticus, where if it's the fine flour, which represents Jesus, he's the fine flour that has been grounded down, purified. Then the oil that is added to the flour, which is the Holy Spirit. Then the water for the purification. But the moment that the woman, it's the same woman that had sin entered into the garden. Watch this. This is what I'm trying to say. The law of first mention is what we're to see. Don't let anybody come and tell you that they can interpret something that is not biblical. The Bible will interpret itself. So the law of first mention, where the first woman came into being, was where? The garden. Where was sin then mentioned the first time? The garden. So a woman represented a system where sin would prevail. But if the woman also represents the church, if she's the bride, where is sin? In the church. So why is it we have people say, I'm not going to church, because I'm so full of sin, I go in there, the building's going about to catch on fire. It'll collapse. Sin, my God, is in the church. Because the one that you need to have to take that leaven out of you is the one that is in charge of the church. So we have to get into that mode of going to him and understanding what he's done for us to take that leaven away. It keeps expanding. Now, I've seen this done before where they would make the dough, eat it, and then they'd let it sit. And by itself, it would rise because of the yeast. So not just the heat. Sometimes, watch this. Oh, this is going to help you. Sometimes when you're sitting and not doing anything, your sin will still make you rise and puff up. Look at me. I'm anointed, but you have me sitting. Look at me. I've got talent, but I'm sitting. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Woo! Wonder why. Oh, but the church is not in order. The church is because there's sin in it. Don't be so crazy to say, we're looking for a good church, you know, where nobody sins. We're looking for a pastor that knows everything and has everything, his life together and has no sin. Good luck. I'll be the one to tell you right now, I'm a pastor that's a sinner. y'all looking at me like, what you say? Sure. I ain't gonna lie. And the one walking out the door, you a sinner too. There ain't nobody walking out. Chill out. Just calm down. Everybody's like, who's that? It's like saying, them that have no sin, cast the first stone. How many cast that stone? Not one. What is he trying to show us all the time when he would go up and heal someone? Kingdom of heaven is here. There's sin all around. But my love will prevail. My love creates miracles. My compassion for an individual and what they need will bring about a miracle in their life and what they need. It's not about the sin in your life. It's about the one that knows that there's sin and still ain't judging you. He's there to say, come in to me. Come to me. All those that are heavy burdened, come to me. See, the Pharisees and Sadducees were a group of people, Lord. You know, the Pharisees, they were the ones that always wanted to have all these kind of laws. They kept on adding the laws. So I'm going to stick with that whole thing about when they would go and make the leaven, the bread for the offering. Do you know what part of it was? How they even made a law that how you washed your hands and how you would wash the tips of your fingers. You would hold it up, and the water had to drip so many times off your elbows before you can finish. If not, it wasn't clean. I'm not making it up. No. Spiritual people make all kinds of ridiculous laws. I'm going to give an example. Example role play. Say, you coming in here in short and with your glasses on your head, that's sacrilegious to the Lord. They themselves had more sin in their life acting like they're so holy, but they only did it so they could judge individuals they didn't want in the church. Well, how did they get Jesus? By what he was teaching. They twisted it, and they would make a law against it. Now, if the woman represented Babylon, okay, now, in the Babylonian kingdom, there was a law that was set for that if anybody bowed down or didn't bow down to worship the gods, they would get cast into what? Furnace. Who were the ones that didn't bow down? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Right? Now, they stayed faithful to the Lord, and they got thrown into the fire, right? When Christ is in you, they had sin too, but they were of the kingdom. And because they were of the kingdom, when the fire was turned up, the bread of life just came out. The bread of life began to expand in the fire. And that's where you begin to understand that all your fiery trials, everything that comes against you, is going to prove to you that God that you serve is right with you, won't leave you. He'll get right in the fire with you. He'll walk with you through everything. When people are coming against you, I'm right there with you. You ain't by yourself. I know you got some sin in you, but I'm right there anyhow. Why? Because the purpose of the kingdom was to show the love of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. What is the purpose of the kingdom of heaven? Love. Do you know that they got so tired of the apostle Paul? What was he preaching all the time? Love. The apostle Paul is coming. He's coming to the church. He's going to preach. They got this one. He's going to talk about love again, ain't he? Every time he comes, he's talking about love, love, love. Love your neighbor. Love your neighbor. I don't like my neighbor. If I was to come talk to you again over and over about love, you wouldn't love me. You get so irritated with me. Pastor, is that all you're going to preach about? I know there's more revelation than love. Right? Some of you are like, yeah. You're right, Pastor. But the kingdom of heaven was love. Time he would walk by somebody and they would cry out or they would press through the love is what touched them. The kingdom of heaven. So what has happened to the church today? Not this church, because we're holy. What has happened to the church today? What is being attacked? Relationship. Relationships. And we think, oh, we're in a glorious church and full of the Holy Spirit. There can't be sin in the church. Oh, it's expanding, all right. There's a lot of stuff going on in today's society that just, my God, it's scary. When you can be in a Bible study, someone come through your doors and kill everybody inside. Isn't that sad? So are we living in a great awakening, or are we living in dark times? Dark times, the perilous times. Are we living where there's a lot of chaos? A lot of chaos. But I want to encourage you, that's when the Holy Spirit begins to move. That's when He begins to hover right over you. Whatever you've been dealing with, whatever you've been fighting against, whatever you've been doubting in your mind is going to take place. That's when He begins to come in and He answers you and He says to you, yes, pursue after what's in your heart. Yes, do it. Even may not even look like it's the right thing to do, but that's what faith says to do. Faith says to step out of the boat, even though you don't know where it's coming from. Step anyhow. Faith is the object of the kingdom of God. Faith is the evidence of things hoped for. How many of you are hoping for things? You believing for things that are not here. He says, watch this, what he says. Call things that are not as though they are, though they were. Do you know what he was prophesying right there? That the kingdom of heaven before the earth, the kingdom of heaven now in the earth, and the kingdom of heaven that is to come. That's what he was talking about. When he was talking about the leaven, he's talking about the kingdom of heaven present, not the kingdom of heaven to come. That's where the Jewish people didn't understand. So they started turning on him. And when they began to turn on him, they didn't want to listen no more. Because the parables got to the point where it addressed certain things that they knew of, but they didn't know how to equate it to the kingdom. So he had to demonstrate kingdom. So when there was sick among them, what did he do? Healed them. Hello? If there was those that were hungry, what did he do? Fed them. And those that were naked, I mean, he took care of their needs. Do you understand? Are we seeing that today? Are we really seeing it today? Here's what we're doing. Oh, help me with this one, Lord. We're doing the works to feed those that are hungry, clothe those that are naked, give drink to those that are thirsty. But when we come into the church, we don't even know what our neighbor needs. We don't even look to the ones that you have been laboring with, that they're the ones that are in need. Our focus has always been out there, but never looking inward. So it was purposely put into the church. Oh, what has Satan come to do? Kill, steal, and destroy. He comes to divide relationships. Ooh, somebody hear what I'm saying, please. Luke 12:1 says, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Luke 12:1. Beware of the leaven of Pharisees. It's hypocrisy. Galatians 5, verses 7 through 9. Galatians 5, 7 through 9 says, you ran well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion does not come from him who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. What he says first, you ran well. But who hindered you from obeying the truth? What is he saying? You did all the works right, but you didn't obey the truth of the kingdom. not just out there, but also in the church. Don't run the race just to run the race. In other words, keep your mouth shut even about your brothers and sisters when you know that they're falling into temptation or sin. When Peter was about to fall into temptation, he told him, "Oh, Peter, I pray that your faith faileth not." When Jesus comes to you and tells you, "Sylvia, I pray your faith faileth not," because the enemy desires to sift you like wheat. What does that mean? I'm about ready to toss you around, and the wind is going to come in and blow you in all different directions. You're going to know which way is up, which way is down. You're going to be so turned around, you're not going to know. And then Jesus says, "I'm not stopping him, but I pray your faith fail you not. I ain't going to stop the devil from messing with you, but I pray your faith fail not." How many of you want God to come through for you in the midst of your storm? I'm like, "God, come on through." He said, "I pray your faith fail you not. I ain't dealing with this devil, you deal with it." Why did he say that? Why did he tell the Apostle Peter, "I'm not here to stop the devil," basically what he's saying, "but I just pray that your faith fails you not." Why Peter? Peter, the one that's so revelatory. So much revelation of the kingdom of God and who he is. He says, "Oh, wait a minute. The devil's like, I'm going to go sift him. I'm going to tear him up to shreds. He's not going to know whether to serve you. He's going to quit the kingdom." I kind of figured that Jesus was looking back. I remember my servant Job. He said, "You're going to go through some hell. You're going to lose some stuff. Things close to you are going to be taken from you. Things that you love are going to be stripped from you. But in the end, greater is returned back to you. Trust that what is leaving will be returning greater to you. Trust what has been taken will be returned at a greater measure. Whatever the enemy has come to even touch or begin to stir up, it is your faith that does not fail that will return to you everything that the enemy has been trying to take from you. That is the kingdom of God. That is the kingdom of heaven. If the living is within you, baby, you are about to rise anyhow. Because it's not about your righteousness. It's about his. Oh, hear the Spirit of God. The kingdom of heaven is like a woman that is making bread. Puts in, purposely, covertly, she sneaks it in. There's some stuff that comes into your life that was not by your own volition, it was by the enemy coming in. You couldn't control it if you wanted to. There's nothing you could have done. But God says, it's going to cause you to rise anyhow. When the fire is put on you, know this, that I will be there with you all the step of the way. Woo! Kingdom of heaven, like the heaven. Why? Quit looking to be made whole now. Walk in your wholeness. If faith says it's the things that I'm hoping for, if you're walking around with a limp, if you're walking around with some pain, faith says keep on walking. Keep on limping. Keep on hanging. Because what's going to happen is, faith says, I'm coming to meet you right where you're at. Right where you're at, I'm going to meet you. I'm going to change some things. Why? Because it doesn't matter if the sin is in your life. Woo! It matters to folks in here, right? You're like, oh, people used to tell me you're never going to amount to nothing, sir, because you don't focus. That's why I'm focused on him and not your word. That's why I'm focused on what he can teach me, not what man can teach me. That's why when he said, I want you to do it my way, not your way, Marty. Because every time you do it your way, you messed up. But when you do it my way, it'll stand the test of every storm. He didn't say you're not going to go through the storm. You'll stand even in the storm. the kingdom now. That's the kingdom. Leaven was never used, right? In making of the bread. The Jewish people understood it. They understood it. That's why they got mad. Whoa, wait a minute. Let's talk to the Jewish people today. I want you to see this prophetically, please. Prophetically see this. If you can't, let me explain it to you. He's taking this man of leaven and putting me in a church under a rabbi of Jews. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I question this, Popo. You gonna put me under a rabbi? They quote the scripture in Hebrew. If he has, you know Hebrew? I brew coffee all the time. I don't know Hebrew. But I know the one that wrote Hebrew. I know the one that brought me out of something that no man can get glory for. I know the one that reached down into the grave and said, I'm picking you up because I need you. It's not about your qualifications. It's not about what you know. It's not about if you're holy or not. You may be a mess, but don't worry. I will mold you into my vessel. I prophesied to Pastor Rick 4 years ago. 4 years ago, I said, I don't know why we're connected, but I do see revival breaking loose in your church. I said, what God is doing, and this is, I didn't know this, but I know it now. He is aligning the people that do not know of him in the church and do not accept him as the Messiah, and he's going to bring about a fresh wind that will feed them manna from heaven, that will make them understand who Christ is, the hope of glory. He is the anointed one. He is the bread of life. That's my prophetic word I released to him. And out of that building, before they got the building, there will be a river that would fill the city of San Antonio. That will be a refreshing water that will go into the crevices in the dark places that many didn't want to go to. And that when it goes out, it would spark fires in the people. I said, Lord, why are you bringing this to remembrance? So Sunday after church, I take my wife, my mama, and my daddy. And we go to the church. I said, oh, I feel the Lord. We walk to the entrance of the gymnasium where we're supposed to go through. And I see the doors. He says, I've been working this out all along for you. When you step foot, well, watch this. Now watch this. In the prophetic class, it was prophesied to the women of that church that they would usher in revival because of their prayers. When I spoke that, they said, the Lord had told us 2 weeks prior to this that we are to connect with your church. But you're saying revival is going to break out here. So we were confused. If revival is supposed to break out here, then why are you moving us there? When I made the announcement that we're going there, they said it all makes sense now. That when revival breaks, it's because the elements have come together. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I said, look prophetically. Because I'm not talking about just the house of manna. I'm talking about the timing of God meeting the timing of his church, the bride, in its appropriate time will people come into position. And when they come into position, now we can take possession. Are you hearing what I'm saying? What did he say? What did he say? What did he say? He said, occupy this land till I come. Everybody look, I can't wait for rapture to come. Just take me, I'm ready to go. Take me. He said, wait a minute. This is the greatest opportunity for the light to shine. This is the greatest hour for my glory to be revealed. Quit looking to get out of where you're at. Start looking for me to come in where you're at. It may be dark, it may be hot, you may be bound, but God says, I'm coming in to take those shackles off of you. I'm coming in to be a part of that fiery trial. And I'm going to be the one that they say, we only do three, but I see one that looks like the Son of Man. What is the kingdom of heaven? It's like the leaven. What was he saying? Prophetically, he was saying, I am the kingdom. Before it was established, I'm the kingdom to come, but don't forget about the kingdom here at hand. Here at hand. That's what he was talking about. Those Jewish people and everybody else around them, they were looking at it. Go. Future tense. He's saying you're missing the now. You're missing your now. Are you missing your now? If you're missing your now, you're looking to escape your now. Be looking for him to show up in your now. Be looking for him to arrive in your situation. Be looking for the kingdom of God that has suffered violence now taken by force. Oh, please hear me. Please hear me. That's all my study for today. I've read 2 points. I said, Lord, why are you studying like this? I don't like reading. He said, oh, when you do your sermon, you're going to write, you're going to write, you're going to write, and you're going to say half of it. Saying his word to show yourself approved before God and man. Oh, I said, wait a minute. I understand the word, God. I understand. He goes, no, you don't. You understand what I allow you to understand. Now, when I give you my revelation, it's going to make your head spin. Notes, whatever. Google ain't got nothing on you, God. So I'm going to tell you, everything that you may feel that's trying to disqualify you is qualifying you. Everything that is trying to take you out, maybe I know you said your name was Sheree. Tell you something. You bring happiness and joy. You make people laugh, make people smile. You're the life of the party. It's all right. I'm talking for real talk. Life of the party. It's all good. Love. Love. Even when they come against you, because they do. Family members come against you. Love. Family members turn against you, have hurt you and wounded you with words, have wounded you physically as well. I'm trying to tell you something. It didn't disqualify you. It qualified you. What he's doing is to bring hope and a future to you, to show you how beautiful and wonderful you are in the very sight of him. He loves you. Let all the hardship go. Let all the pain within your heart go. Let everything that's made you feel less than, even though you're the life of the party, even though you can talk up a storm with everybody, but you're saying to yourself, when will they see my real pain? When will they see deep down inside that what I'm going through, nobody can understand but me? Hear the Spirit of God saying, I'm here to touch you right where you're at. here to love on you, because that's what the kingdom of God is. Don't let anybody come and judge you. Don't let anybody put a label on you. Before any label gets put on you, you're a child of God. You're a child of God. I encourage you. Stand if you would, baby, please. And I say that with so much respect. If you just lift up your hands. Father, bless her. Love on her, oh God. Embrace her with your very precious love, God. Be her heavenly Father that will never hurt her, never speak ill things of her, but will encourage her for a hope and a future. And the plans that you have for her be revealed right in her heart and in her mind. Lord, I thank you for her. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I see it now. You equated the things being taken and stripped. You said, that's me. Lost a lot. You lost a lot. You are so wounded to think that that's all that what your lot is. Your lot, this is all I got. This is all I'm going to get. What you're going to do is be an encourager to many. There's some young ladies you need to speak to. You're going to speak truth in love and tell them the streets ain't for them. You're going to tell them what it really is out there, because the truth is inside of you. You're not ashamed to say it. I've been through some stuff. If the pastor can stay up there, he's a pastor full of sin. I'm a woman full of sin as well. But I know my Savior. I know who brought me out from a mighty long way. I know who has got a hold of my heart. You are the one that I've chosen in this hour. You are the one, says the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I feel the anointing of God in the house. I feel His presence. Lord, have your way. Have your way. Glory. Glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My God. The very presence of the loving Father is in the atmosphere. He's here looking at the chaos. He's looking at the darkness. He's looking and hovering over you, saying, I know what you're in. I know your despair. I know your dismay. I know you're losing hope. You're losing faith. But I'm praying for you that your faith faileth not. But my Spirit is about to divide the darkness and the light. And my light shall shine forth and burst forth. For such is the kingdom of heaven. It may be full of sin, but I'm in it. Woo. Hallelujah. Woo. What has been held from you and held from your family is about to be released to you. What has kept you from experiencing the true call of God on your life has only made you dig deeper in worship. The truth of the leaven, it was to come in and to ruin pure worship. The leaven that has been brought into the home to cause the worship to cease. God says, I'm going to use that to raise you up. Because I'm in the midst of it all and the fire has been turned up. But what has been held back from you is about to be released to you, says the Spirit of the living God. What you're asking for is revelation. Revelation. And He's giving it to you. Hallelujah. 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 Have your way, Holy Ghost. Have your way. Come on, if you know that this word is ministered to you, then you have looked at some things in your life. There's so much going on. There's so much chaos. Stand on your feet. Stand on your feet. I don't have a handle on it, God. I can't put my finger on it. I can't get the understanding of it, God. But there's so much in my life that I can't put my finger on. I can't even define it. Since my will is to bring healing. My will is to show the love of the Father. The kingdom of heaven is love. It may suffer violence, but the violent take it by force. Thank you, Jesus. I heard that. See, the enemy comes to distort worship and sacrifice. Oh, God, help me. You have felt like your baby has been a sacrifice that has gone through the fire, that hasn't come out yet, but is still in turmoil and in pain. You have felt like, God, why, this is just too much. I believe, but you got to help my unbelief. I'm here to encourage you that your baby, your promise, spiritually and physically here on this earth, your baby, your son, your daughter, may have gone through the fire that the enemy has set up to be a sacrifice unto Moloch. But I call now the people of God that have gone through the fire, the sons and the daughters that's been given up as a sacrifice unto the spirit of Moloch. I bind the very work and the efficacy of the spirit. And I thank you, God, for your high and ranking angels, oh God, to war against this principality, to loose back the children back unto the fathers, unto the mothers, back into their rightful position in their home. I speak now against the spirit of perversion in Jesus' mighty name. I speak holiness into the heart, into the spirit, that they don't walk through the fire no more, but they walk through the loving arms of the Father. That they feel your love, they understand your love. Lord, I thank you right now in Jesus' mighty name. Those that are bound to crutches and wheelchairs, bound to a bed, bound to a walking stick because they're blind, bound to a bed in the hospital because they're going through a transplant, but the body's rejecting it. Father, I speak healing now in the name of Jesus. Arise and walk. For the glory of God has risen upon you. I speak unto those that have all kinds of malice and disease in their heart. I bind it, the unforgiving spirit, right now in the name of Jesus. And I loose peace here on earth. Now in the name of Jesus. Let your peace permeate the hearts and mind of your children, oh God. And I thank you, Lord, as we cross over. Lord, I thank you for what you're doing in this very hour, Lord. For the kingdom of heaven. Like that of leaven. We're not to look at it as perfect. You're the perfect one. You're the perfect bread. You're the fine flour. You're the fine oil. You have went through the process. You have went through the beatings. You have went through everything. Lord, I just thank you, Lord, that you're causing us to rise with you. And I thank you for it, Lord. I bless these people today. Touch them in the very area, Lord. Let their walk be straight and proud of who they are in you. Let their identity be restored in you, O God. Let them see that the Spirit of the living God that dwells inside of them is the kingdom of heaven is here at hand. And we thank you for it now. In Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You may be seated. You may be seated. Hallelujah. The Lord is amen. Hallelujah. I pray those on the podcast were not driving and got into an accident or something. But if you did, the Lord will restore all things. I know that the fire of God was moving in here. I saw an angel in the middle of this aisle walking through and cutting right in front of you, woman in the yellow shirt. Walking right in front of you. And the fire went right in front and stood right in front of you. That it was his presence that stands there and says, I am with you. I am with you. I bring to you the revelation knowledge of who I am, says the Spirit of God. He's going to reveal to you his wholeness, his pureness, and how much he loves you. How much he loves you. I saw him stand right in front of you. See, the Israelites in the wilderness were following a pillar of fire. And what I saw was the angel carrying the pillar of fire in his hand. And he stood right in front of you and said, here it is. If you want it, it's yours. That's his presence. If you accept it, take it. You're going to see your life change. You'll see it changed. There's healing taking place in your body, your heart, and your emotions, physically as well. He loves you so much. He loves you so much. So much. There's someone in here that has suffered, and I say this with so much respect. Hear my heart. Not that I have to qualify it, but for those that are not so spiritual in the room, I say it. There is an individual in here that has suffered loss of a child. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. He had a hard time believing again. I speak to you right now in the name of Jesus and reveal God's mercies. His grace is sufficient. But even those words don't bring you peace. But I release peace to you right now in the name of Jesus. An unborn child that caused so much pain in your life. It was the beginning of the unbelief, the beginning of the leaven within your faith. I speak to you right now, God. Speak strength to you, that the gift of God shall come forth, and the fruit of your womb is blessed. I thank you for it now, in Jesus' mighty name, for wholeness and peace, restoring what was lost, restoring what was taken away. Greater you restored back to Job. And when Peter was restored back to his place of faith, Lord, great miracle signs and wonders followed even his shadow. I'm here to say unto you, beloved, your greater is right in front of you. Turn away from your dismay. Turn away from that pain. And just walk towards him. That even the shadow of your circumstance will bring healing to many. It will be a testimony for those that are in the streets, those that are in the church, those that are in your home. It'll be a testimony of how good God is. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, God is good. Ooh. God is good. Right, there you go. Read it and study it. Read it and study it. Oh, he's good. He's good. His elder is getting ready to hand out the envelopes for tithes and offerings. You can cut the recording back there, guys.